Welcome to the New Era Sampler for November 2009. This program includes condensed articles from the New Era magazine. If you would like to hear the complete articles, they are available online at lds.org. General Conference is for you. President Monson promised, as you read and study the conference messages, you will be additionally taught and inspired. This section is intended to help and encourage you to read and learn from General Conference. You can read the General Conference messages in this month's Ensign magazine, and you can view video, download MP3s, or read the text of the October 2009 General Conference online at conference.lds.org. Words of the Prophet, President Thomas S. Monson. Welcome to Conference. Those who will address us have sought heaven's help and direction as they have prepared their messages. They have been impressed concerning that which they will share with us. Controlling anger. To be angry is to yield to the influence of Satan. No one can make us angry. It is our choice. If we desire to have a proper spirit with us at all times, we must choose to refrain from becoming angry. I testify that such is possible. We've all felt anger. It can come when things don't turn out the way we want. It might be a reaction to something which is said to us. We may experience it when people don't behave the way we want them to behave. Perhaps it comes when we have to wait for something longer than we expected. We might feel angry when others can't see things from our perspective. There seem to be countless possible reasons for anger. The Apostle Paul asks in Galatians chapter 4, verse 26 of the Joseph Smith translation, "Can ye be angry and not sin? Let not the sun go down upon your wrath." I ask, is it possible to feel the Spirit of our Heavenly Father when we are angry? I know of no instance where such would be the case. Serving others. A few years ago, I read an article written by Jack McConnell. He recounted that during his childhood, every day as the family sat around the dinner table, his father would ask each one in turn, "And what did you do for someone today?" The children were determined to do a good turn every day so they could report to their father that they had helped someone. Dr. McConnell calls this exercise his father's most valuable legacy, for that expectation and those words inspired him and his siblings to help others throughout their lives. As they grew and matured, their motivation for providing service changed to an inner desire to help others. Just over a year ago, I was interviewed by the Church News prior to my birthday. At the conclusion of the interview, the reporter asked what I would consider the ideal gift that members worldwide could give to me. I replied, "Find someone who is having a hard time or is ill or lonely and do something for him or her." I was overwhelmed when this year for my birthday, I received hundreds of cards and letters from members of the church around the world telling me how they had fulfilled that birthday wish. The acts of service ranged from assembling humanitarian kits to doing yard work. My birthday cards and notes came also from teenagers and young men and young women classes who made blankets for hospitals, served in food pantries, were baptized for the dead, and performed numerous other acts of service. Guidance in today's world. We remind you that the messages we have heard during this conference will be printed in the November issues of the Ensign and Liahona magazines. As you read and study them, you will be additionally taught and inspired. I am reminded of the words of the Lord found in the Book of Ether in the Book of Mormon. Said He, "Ye cannot cross this great deep, save I prepare you against the waves of the sea, and the winds which have gone forth, and the floods which shall come." Ether chapter 2, verse 25. My brothers and sisters, He has prepared us. If we heed His words and if we live by the commandments, we will survive this time of permissiveness and wickedness, which can be compared with the waves and the winds and the floods, which can destroy. He is ever mindful of us. He loves us and will bless us as we do what is right. How grateful we are that the heavens are indeed open, that the restored Church of Jesus Christ is upon the earth today, and that the Church is founded upon the rock of Revelation. We are a blessed people, with apostles and prophets upon the earth today. We will never be led astray.
This Loser is a Winner by Janet Thomas, Church Magazines. Meet a girl who won't let athletic success cause her faith to slide. When Kate Hansen was 10, her father drove her to Slider Search, a local clinic being held for kids to try out for luge. "I tell people that luge is like bobsledding," says Kate. At the clinic, they set up hay bales and cones on the street and then let the kids ride a trainer sled with wheels down the course. "I went through the cones without crashing. I remember it being really fun. Plus, they wanted to see how well I took direction." As a result of the clinic, both Kate and her cousin were invited to come to Lake Placid, New York, where the National Luge Training Facility is located. The first time Kate tried out a real sled on an ice course, she loved it. It was fast and fun. Her mother, Kathy, remembers seeing her go down a run for the first time. She says, "It's nerve-wracking when you watch your daughter go by, and she's going so fast. I wondered, what have we gotten into? The coaches don't know how she does it. She can have a bad start. But as soon as she is through the first curve, she's leading everyone because she's settling in and relaxing and just feeling the curves." While learning this new sport, Kate says, "I was just the girl from California who had her ukulele. Before races, some people warm up by sitting in the corner, staying really focused. Others zone everyone out. Then there are those who listen to music and dance. I was one who danced and sang, trying to keep my mind off of what I was doing. That's when I did well. I was just there for fun." Going with the flow. Kate Hansen and her family haven't had a real plan for her participation in luge. They seem to take and evaluate opportunities as they come. Eventually, Kate started to get noticed. In her first junior international competition at the junior level, she came in third, shocking everyone because she was so young and inexperienced. A few months later, at 15, she came in first at the Junior World Championship. She was only the third American to ever win. She now spends most of the winter months living with the team in Europe and competing on the Junior World Cup Tour. Her name has started rising to the top. With the upcoming 2010 Winter Olympics, Kate will be invited to participate in the Olympic trials. Whether she makes it or not, Kate has had fun participating and succeeding in luge, but it will not become the only focus in her life. Finding the balance. Kate's mom and dad worry about their daughters keeping the right balance. "Mom didn't want me to miss out on high school," says Kate. Kate is involved in school activities when she is home and maintains excellent grades. "Our goal is that she is going to college," says her mother. And her seminary teacher, Sister Franson, is kind enough to digitally record seminary every morning. We then email the seminary recordings to Kate each week so she can listen to the classes. It is one of her spiritual foundations and a link to home when she is on the road. Testimony is it. Having a strong testimony is the bottom line for Kate. She is always excited to go to Young Women Camp and Youth Conference with her stake. When asked about her favorite scripture, Kate mentions an experience she had while attending especially for youth. She hadn't planned to bear her testimony, but then she had a feeling that someone there needed to hear what she had to say. She had been reading in her scriptures and had come upon Mosiah chapter 8, verse 18. Thus God has provided a means that man, through faith, might work mighty miracles. Therefore, he becometh a great benefit to his fellow beings. Kate says, I stood up and talked about my patriarchal blessing, where it says I would be an example to others and people would be watching me. Now it's my favorite scripture because it came as an answer to me. It seems that people are indeed watching Kate and what she chooses to do. At the end of the season, two of her teammates said they had stopped drinking because of her. It was the biggest reward I have ever received, says Kate.
The Mormon Channel, the Liahona of radio, featuring the New Era Sampler for November 2009. What Joseph Smith taught. The dispensation of the fullness of times. Joseph Smith helped lay the foundation for the latter-day work. A dispensation of the gospel is a period of time in which the Lord has at least one authorized servant on the earth who bears the holy priesthood and the keys. The fullness of times is the final dispensation and began with the revelation of the gospel to Joseph Smith. It is a glorious time, the time in which we live today. Bible Dictionary, Dispensations. Here are some of Joseph Smith's teachings on this gospel dispensation. This is the final dispensation. It is in the order of heavenly things that God should always send a new dispensation into the world when men have apostatized from the truth and lost the priesthood. The dispensation of the fullness of times will bring to light the things that have been revealed in all former dispensations, also other things that have not been before revealed. Joseph Smith laid the foundation.
Every man who has a calling to minister to the inhabitants of the world was ordained to that very purpose in the grand council of heaven before this world was. I suppose that I was ordained to this very office in that grand council. I calculate to be one of the instruments of setting up the kingdom of Daniel by the word of the Lord. See Daniel chapter 2, verses 44 and 45. And I intend to lay a foundation that will revolutionize the whole world. We can help in the Lord's work. Feeling desirous to carry out the purposes of God and to be co-workers with Him in this last dispensation, we feel the necessity of having the hearty cooperation of the saints. It will be necessary for the saints to hearken to counsel and turn their attention to the church, the establishment of the kingdom, and lay aside every selfish principle. The heavenly priesthood will unite with the earthly. Generations yet unborn will dwell with peculiar delight upon the scenes that we have passed through in laying the foundation of a work that is destined to bring about the destruction of the powers of darkness, the renovation of the earth, the glory of God, and the salvation of the human family.
General Conference is for you. Preparation and Love, President Henry B. Eyring, First Counselor in the First Presidency. Be ready. Wherever I am in the day or night, there is nearby a small container of olive oil. The one I hold now has a date on it. It is the day when someone exercised the power of the priesthood to consecrate the pure oil for the healing of the sick. The call during the day or the knock at the door at night always comes as a surprise. Someone will say, "Please, could you come quickly?" Once years ago, it was a father calling from a hospital. His 3-year-old daughter had been thrown 50 feet, 15 meters, by a speeding car as she ran across the street to join her mother. When I arrived at the hospital, the father pled that the power of the priesthood would preserve her life. The doctors and the nurses only reluctantly let us reach through a plastic barrier to place a drop of oil on the one opening in the heavy bandages which covered her head. A doctor said to me with irritation in his voice, "Hurry with whatever you are going to do. She is dying." He was wrong. She lived. And contrary to what the doctor had said, she not only lived, but she learned to walk again. When the call came, I was ready. The preparation was far more than having consecrated oil close at hand. It must begin long before the crisis which requires priesthood power. Those who are prepared will be ready to answer. The preparation begins in families, in Aaronic priesthood quorums, and mostly in the private lives of young men. The quorums and the families must help, but the preparation that counts will be made by the young men making choices to rise to their great destiny as priesthood servants for God. The destiny of the rising generation of priesthood holders is far more than to be ready to bring God's power down to heal the sick. The preparation is to be ready to go and do whatever the Lord wants done as the world is preparing for His coming. None of us knows exactly what those errands will be, but we know what it will take to be ready, so each of us can prepare. Love. I wish to encourage you. You have had evidences that you are moving along the road to becoming more like Jesus. It will help to remember how you have felt at times, like a little child, even in the midst of cares and trials. You have felt the peace of a pure little child at times when you have tried to be like Jesus. These moments will come more often as you try to do the things you know Jesus would do. Because of His atonement for you, your childlike obedience will bring a feeling of love of the Savior for you and your love for Him. That is one of the gifts that is promised to His faithful disciples. I hope you will go out today looking for opportunities to do as He did and to love as He loves. I can promise you the peace that you felt as a child will come to you often, and it will linger with you. In a turbulent world, now there is a place where you can turn for strength. The Mormon Channel, featuring the new era sampler for November 2009.
Standing for Virtue. Standing on Ensign Peak, overlooking the Salt Lake Temple and waving a banner, Sister Elaine S. Dalton and her counselors Mary N. Cook and Anne M. Dibb have encouraged young women throughout the world to make a commitment to virtue. It was a Sunday evening, November 28, 1869, 140 years ago, when President Brigham Young called his daughters together and asked them to retrench in the way they dressed and acted. They were asked to turn away from the ways of the world that were leading them away from the gospel. This was the beginning of the organization known today as the Young Women. On November 28, 2008, President Thomas S. Monson and his counselors approved the addition of virtue as the eighth value in the Young Women theme. Sister Elaine Dalton, Young Women General President, said, "The date is not a coincidence. The Lord had His hand in this decision. It has been divinely inspired. I looked up the word retrench as we were thinking about a return to virtue. The dictionary says it is an additional interior fortification. That is really what virtue is going to do for the young women. It's going to give them a fortification, a strengthening, to stand as a witness of God in an ever-darkening world. It is going to help them have strength and courage." Since then, young women groups throughout the world have demonstrated their commitment by waving their own gold-colored banner as a symbol of their commitment to virtue. Encinas Ward, Gilbert, Arizona, Stapley Stake. "I was able to give a devotional one night at camp on the return to virtue. I felt the spirit so strong with these girls. Each girl stood that night and signed our banner saying that we will remain virtuous and take a stand in this world, calling for a return to virtue. Believe me when I tell you these girls will change the world for good. It has been a privilege to serve them and know that my life has been blessed because of it." Sherry Kersey.
Your source for goodness and truth, The Mormon Channel, featuring the new era sampler for November 2009.
Rising as a Generation, Elder Brent H. Nielsen of the 70. The Savior's call is to you of the rising generation. He is asking for worthy, prepared, faithful young men and young women who will heed the prophet's voice. I pray that you of this rising generation will stand up for truth and righteousness and understand your sacred call to go and teach all nations. Elder M. Russell Ballard of the Quorum of the 12 Apostles. To you Aaronic priesthood holders, I believe that by doing these three simple things, you can make your relationship with your Father even better than it is right now. First, trust your Father. He is entitled to inspiration on your behalf. His advice to you will be the heartfelt expressions of someone who knows and loves you. Second, take an interest in your Father's life. Your love, admiration, and understanding will increase by what you learn. And third, ask your Father for advice. Let's be honest, He is probably going to give you His advice whether you ask for it or not. But it just works so much better when you ask. Sylvia H. Allred, First Counselor in the Relief Society General Presidency. The good women of the world are embracing the gospel of Jesus Christ in large numbers across the nations. You are the real heroines He was talking about. We have seen the light of the gospel reflected in your faces. Your example and influence for good are both extraordinary and remarkable. President Henry B. Eyring, First Counselor in the First Presidency. In recent months, I have heard deacons, teachers, and priests give talks which are clearly as inspired and powerful as you will hear in this general conference. As I have felt the power being given to young holders of the priesthood, I have thought that the rising generation is rising around us as if on an incoming tide. My prayer is that those of us in the generations which have come before will rise on the tide with them. The preparation of the Aaronic priesthood is a blessing to us all, as well as to those they will serve in their generation and the generations to follow. A reader's comment on the topic, Rising as a Generation. I strongly felt that the most important thing to do is to love our fellow man as much as we can. Parker R., 14, Arizona.
This concludes the New Era Sampler for November 2009. If you would like to hear the complete articles, they are available online at lds.org.